ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prem se ko Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastri Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gugopina Shyamakum Radhakum Giri Govardhan ki jai. Shri Vrindavanam ki jai. Shri Mayapurnavidam ki jai. Ganyarai ki jai. Jamunamai ki jai. Tulsi Devi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Samavira Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Gop Premanandi. All glory is the sum of devotees, all glory is the sum of devotees, all glory is the sum of devotees, all glory is to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, The Cause of All Causes, text number 39. Grivhayam Jano Lokosya. Tapolokastanatvayat Murdhavi Satyalokastu Brahmaloka Sanatanaha Grivayang Janalokasya Tapolokastanatvayat Murdhavi Satyalokastu Brahmaloka Sanatana Grivayam Janalokasya Tapolokastana Dvayat Murdhavi Satyalokastu Brahmaloka Sanatana Grivayam, up to the neck. Janaloka, the Janaloka planetary system. Asya, of him. Tapoloka, the Tapoloka planetary system. Stanadvayat, beginning from the breast. more to be
by the head,
Satyaloka,
the
Satyaloka planetary system,
to but
Brahmaloka, the spiritual planets,
Sanatana,
eternal. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. From the forefront of the chest up to the neck of the universal form of the Lord are situated the planetary systems named Janaloka and Tapaloka. Whereas Satyaloka, the topmost planetary system, is situated on the head of the form. The spiritual planets, however, are eternal. Purport. Many times in these pages we have discussed the spiritual planets situated beyond the material sky, and the description is corroborated in this verse. The word Sanatana is significant. This very idea of eternity is expressed in the Bhagavad Gita 8:20, where it is said that beyond the material creation is the spiritual sky, where everything is eternal. Sometimes Satyaloka, the planet in which Brahma resides, is also called Brahmaloka, but the Brahmaloka mentioned here is not the same as the Satyaloka planetary system. This Brahmaloka is eternal, whereas the Satyaloka planetary system is not eternal. And to distinguish between the two, the adjective Sanatana has been used in this case. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, this Brahmaloka is the loka or abode of Brahman, or the Supreme Lord. In the spiritual sky, all the planets are as good as the Lord Himself. The Lord is all spirit, and His name, fame, glories, qualities, pastimes, etc., are all none different from Him, because He is absolute. As such, the planets in the kingdom of God are also none different from Him. In those planets, there is no difference between the body and the soul, nor is there any influence of time, as we experience it in the material world. And in addition to there being no influence of time, the planets in Brahmaloka, due to being spiritual, are never annihilated. All variegatedness in the spiritual planets is also one with the Lord, and therefore the Vedic aphorism, Ekam Evhad Viti Yam, is fully realized in that Sanatana atmosphere of spiritual variegatedness. This material world is only a shadow, phantasmagoria, of the spiritual kingdom of the Lord. And because it is a shadow, it is never eternal. The variegatedness in the material world of duality, spirit, and matter cannot be compared to that of the spiritual world. Because of a poor fund of knowledge, less intelligent persons sometimes make or mistake the conditions of the shadow world to be equivalent to those of the spiritual world, and thus they mistake the Lord and His pastimes in the material world to be one with the conditioned souls and their activities. The Lord condemns such less intelligent persons in the Bhagavad Gita 9:11. Avajanite mam mudha manasim tanam ashutam parambhavam jananto mamabhuta maheshram. Whenever the Lord incarnates, He does so in His full internal potency, Atma Maya, and less intelligent persons mistake Him to be one of the material creations. Srila Sridhar Swami, therefore, rightly commenting on this verse, says that the Brahmaloka mentioned here is Vaikuntha, the kingdom of God, which is Sanatana or eternal, and is therefore not exactly like the material creations described above. The Virat, universal form of the Lord, is an imagination for the material world. It has nothing to do with the spiritual world or the kingdom of God. Om Ajnanatam Anandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Krodh Vachalam Pamdun Nangaya Tegri Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Sigurum Dinataranam Vanchakapa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Ram Hare Ram. In the Bhagavad Gita, it states, Urdhva Mulama Dashaka Ashvatam Brahmavya, that this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world compared to a banyan tree. And it's a very entangling tree. Sense gratification, the sense objects, birth and death. But one must get out of this tree by the weapon of detachment. This is how to get out of the entanglement of this material world, which is just a reflection of the spiritual world. And the fifth verse of this chapter, Krishna explains how Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha Adhyatma Nidhya Vinivritta Kama Dvandvara Mukta Sukha Dukha Sangha Gajjan Shimura Panama Yamta. We had to get free of false ego. This is the most difficult obstacle that we have to cross in order to go back to the real. To the real world, this false ego that we think this for this body, that we're American, we're Indian, we're Australian, we're Chinese. This is the big illusion that we're this body, that we're the enjoyer, that we're the proprietor. So this process is so powerful that we can become cleansed of all this illusion. And that's the next one. Nirmana Moha. Moha means illusion. So this is Mahamaya. That we think that we're this body, we're the enjoyer, the proprietor. And ultimately, we are God. The last snare of Maya. Who would think? You know, we hear so much about how we're the servant. Krishna's God. But this is the last snare. Even there is one devotee in our society. He's a big leader in our society. Very respected in our society. Pushed book distribution like anything. I won't mention any names. But eventually, he came to the understanding that he was Lord Chaitanya. So, therefore we could understand this is the last snare. He had made so much advancement, inspiring devotees all over our society. But the end result, he's Lord Chaitanya. So, this is, Prabhupada mentions this in his books. Quite a few places. This is the last snare, so we have to be careful of this. We're not God. Don't forget. We're the servants. Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha. We have to give up bad association. to associate with devotees of the Lord. By association with the devotees, then we make rapid advancement. If we associate with non-devotees, it's like sometimes devotees, they will go and they'll spend 1 or 2 weeks with their family members who aren't devotees. So it can be a disturbance. It could be an obstacle to our advancement, because there, you know, you have some relation, something is there, some material relation, temporary. But I've seen devotees, they get affected by this. So even with one's family members, we have to be careful. Because what is our real family? Here's our brothers and sisters. This is our real family. Prabhupada's our father, grandfather. So this is our real family. And from this association, we become liberated. If we associate too much with our non-devotee family, we can become affected. They had to be careful. But if we associate with devotees, this is the key to opening the door to the spiritual world. Satang basangam mama virya sangbudu bhavantrit karnam sayanakata tajosnat asvabhavargavartani shradhavatir bhaktir anukrimishyati. Devotees of the Lord, they derive great pleasure in the association of the devotees, other devotees of the Lord. Especially when hearing about Krishna. And this is very pleasing to the ear and to the heart. And by this association, we become liberated from material life, simply by this association. And therefore Prabhupada said he established all these temples around ISKCON to give people an opportunity to associate with devotees. He said this was his reason. Also so that people can come and join. So this is what is needed. Yeah. Association with devotees. And by this we also gain great faith in Krishna. It's like Prabhupada is so pure, he created so much faith in people, just, you know, ordinary people, you know, mlechas, yavanas, so powerful, so pure. It's described that there's two types of purity. Anybody know what they are? Little test. One purity is that one is so pure that whatever he does is pure. And another type of purity, that he's so pure that he can purify others. So Krishna is this unlimitedly. Everything he does is pure. And even though someone may think that something he does is impure, just like Krishna is known as Makan Chor, Krishna is a thief. He steals butter. So generally a thief is not very much looked up upon, right? Looked down upon, a thief. But Krishna is so pure that he purifies sinful activities. Because he's absolute. And when devotees hear of his stealing butter, they become ecstatic. It's like one time Krishna, he was stealing butter in one elderly Mataji's home. And she caught him. And she said, Krishna, now I've caught you, red-handed, butter on your hand. I'm going to take you to your mother, and I'm going to make sure that she punishes you, because you do this all the time, now I've caught you. It's not right. It's wrong. So Krishna is feigning tears, but she takes him anyway. Mother Yasoda knocks on the door. Aye. Mother Yasoda, I've caught your son stealing butter in my home. You have to stop him. You have to punish him. And Mother Yasoda comes to the door. What are you saying? What's happening, Mother? Your son here, he's been stealing butter in my home for so long. Now I've caught him. You have to punish him. It's not good. So Mother Yasoda looks down and says, Mataji, are you feeling good? It's not Krishna then, that's your own son. She looks down, where's Krishna? Where are you going? It's okay, Mataji, I think you need a little more rest. Go home, take a little rest, you'll feel better. It's okay. What happened? That trickster Krishna. So then she's walking away. Then Krishna does some more tripping. Turns back into Krishna, and then he looks up at her and says, if you ever do that to me again, I'm going to turn into your husband. And she runs away. So, devotees relish these pastimes of Krishna. And he also, sometimes Krishna, he lies. God lies. Yeah, before the battle of Kurukshetra, Duryodhana and Arjuna, they were going around to the different kingdoms and they were trying to get people on their side, trying to get the kings and other soldiers on their side. So, but no one had approached Krishna yet, and by the arrangement of fate, Arjuna and Duryodhana, they went to Krishna's palace at the same time. Krishna was resting. Pastime of resting. So Arjuna thought better about his feet. Because Arjuna is his devotee. The devotee is always at the feet of Krishna. But Duryodhana thought better about his head, because if I'm at his head, then he'll see me first, then he'll want to fulfill my desire first, because he's seen me first. That was proper etiquette. Right? But Krishna, after some time, he woke up. And he happened to see Arjuna first. Oh, Arjuna, you're here. And then he saw, oh, Duryodhana, you're here. What's the occasion? And they said, well, the battle is coming soon. And we just happened to come here at the same time. And we both want you on our side. So Krishna, he didn't want to fight. So he said, I'm not going to fight. But if you want, one of you can have me on your side anyway. And the other can have my army. Big army. Imagine, God's army. How many Akshavani, anybody remember? July. So Arjuna, I saw you first. So you choose. You can either have me, I'm not going to fight, or you could have my army. So Duryodhana's thinking, oh, shoot. He didn't see me first. But anyway. But then Arjuna surprised Duryodhana. He said, Krishna, I want you. You want me, but I'm not going to fight. That's okay. If I have you, I'll win. So Duryodhana was very happy. This fool Arjuna, can't believe it. Anyway, he was very happy. He got Krishna's army. That's what he went there for. Krishna, that's not important. Yeah. But to have his army, whoa. So both of them walked away happy. Arjuna knew, if I have Krishna, I'll win. Duryodhana was thinking, if I have Krishna's army, then I'll win. So then, the battle started. And they're fighting. But after some days, Duryodhana, he went to Bhishma. He said, Bhishma, I can understand that you're favoring the Pandavas because they have not even got a scratch on them. And you're the most powerful on this battlefield. So Bhishma took that as a challenge. Oh yeah, all right. Tomorrow, I'll kill all the Pandavas with these 5 arrows. So Duryodhana was very happy. Okay, can I keep those 5 arrows in safekeeping? Yeah, you did. So then Krishna, that night, he told Arjuna, Arjuna, you have to go to Duryodhana, and he has 5 arrows that are meant to kill you 5 Pandavas tomorrow by Bhishma. So you go there and you ask for these 5 arrows. Otherwise you're finished. Bhishma is most powerful. So Arjuna, having great faith in Krishna, went there. Knocked on the door. Aribo, Duryodhana. Yes, he opened the door. Oh, Arjuna, you're here. Please come in. Is there anything you want? I'll give you the kingdom. If you want, I'll give you the kingdom. Because in the days of yore, in those battles, at night they would be friends. You know, they would go and they would eat together and talk, and amazing. They'd fight like anything all day, and then at night they become friends. Yeah. Please come in. Anything you want, please. I'll give you the kingdom. Whatever you want. No. I don't want the kingdom. I just want those 5 arrows. And immediately he gave them. All right, whatever you want here, take. Then he was thinking, shoot. Yeah. That was going to finish the Pandavas. But anyway, he was a kshatriya. Another kshatriya comes and asks, and immediately give. Integrity. So then, the next morning, Bhishma comes out, give me those 5 arrows. I don't have them. Why? What happened? Arjuna came last night, he asked for them, so I gave them to him. Duryodhana owed him a favor. Okay. So, look here. Bhishma said, so, Krishna is behind this. So Krishna has forced me to break my promise. I was going to kill the 5 Pandavas. He has forced me to break that promise. Because I was going to do it with those 5 arrows. Now he's taking the arrows. But now, I'm going to force Krishna to break his promise. Otherwise I'll kill Arjuna. So word got out that Bhishma is after Arjuna. So he's very powerful. So he's fighting the other soldiers on the Pandava side. They're trying to stop Bhishma. It's hard to stop Bhishma. He's powerful. So he's fighting, getting closer and closer to Arjuna. At the end of the day, he's there with Arjuna. He's fighting Arjuna. And it gets to the point where he's just getting ready to kill Arjuna. And then what did Krishna do? Anybody know? He picked up the wheel. Now generally a wheel is not a weapon. But if it's in the hands of God, it becomes a weapon. You can kill with a weapon, with a wheel. So he picked it up. And if we have that beautiful picture of Krishna holding the wheel, and Bhishma standing there, ready to die in the hands of Krishna. So, who knows what happened? Why Bhishma wasn't killed? No. Arjuna tried to, but it's hard to stop God. Arjuna didn't stop him. It said that in the battle, as soon as the sun goes down, the battle stops for the day. So just at that moment, just when Krishna was going to kill Bhishma, the sun went down. So the battle stopped for the day. So Krishna lied. He said, I'm not going to fight. But he was there, ready to kill. But why did he lie? To protect his devotee. And why does Krishna steal? To give pleasure to his devotee. Whatever apparently sinful thing he does, it's always to please his devotee. Whatever Krishna does, it's always to please his devotee. And whatever a devotee does, it's always to please Krishna. So this is that. Therefore, sadhava hridayam mayam, sadhava hridayam tvaham. That my devotee does not know anyone but me. And I do not know anyone but my devotee. The devotee is within my heart, and I am within the heart of the devotee. So this is Krishna. And there was one other. Oh yeah. Of all the Pandavas, actually practically on the whole planet, there was no one more honest than Yudhisthira. He is known as one who's never told a lie. He's famous as one who never told a lie. So that doesn't say much for everybody else, right? You have one person that's never told a lie, that means everybody else lies, you know, more or less. You know. He is so honest. So what does Krishna do? He tells Yudhisthira, you go tell Dronacharya that his son is dead. But his son wasn't dead. Ashwatthama, he wasn't dead. But Dronacharya was fighting so powerfully. He was just killing so many of the soldiers on the side of the Pandavas. It was like, who's going to stop him? He was just, he had this power, he was actually a brahmana, but he had this kshatriya ability also. He was very powerful. He trained the Pandavas, he trained the Kurus, very powerful. So Krishna came up with a plan. He knew that the only way that Dronacharya will stop is when he hears that his son is dead. So Yudhisthira, he hesitated. He didn't want to lie. So up to that point, his chariot was not touching the ground. But as soon as he hesitated to follow the instructions of Krishna, his chariot fell to the ground. And he had to see hell also, because if he disobeyed the orders of Krishna. But then he went to Dronacharya. Now he's fighting. So Yudhisthira went to him and whispered in his ear, Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead. So there was an elephant named Ashwatthama. So Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead. So this way he didn't tell a lie. So here's Krishna. Not only is he lying, he's telling the most honest person on the planet to lie. Why? To protect his devotees. So Krishna always has his devotees in mind. Always giving pleasure to his devotees. And when devotees see that Krishna is so kind upon him, they want to please Krishna more. And when Krishna sees that the devotees are trying to please him so much more, then he wants to please them more. He just goes on and on, unlimitedly. Yeah. So this is life in the spiritual world. Wonderful, constant reciprocation of trying to please the other more. Like this verse is mentioned in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, as it's mentioned here, the body is the same as the soul. There's no difference. Here there's a difference. The body is the soul. in the spiritual world. Not only Krishna, but all living entities. There's no, it's described that there's no dead matter in the spiritual. Everything is alive. And one purport, Prabhupada said, in the spiritual world, everything is conscious. Everything can see, everything can hear, everything can move, everything can speak. Amazing, huh? Everything is conscious. Everything is personal. And before, or after Lord Bor, after he killed Hiranyaksha, it's described in the Bhagavatam that he went back to the spiritual world where there is a constant festival. That's the spiritual world. That we all like festivals. Right? Janmashtami festival and Rath Yatra festival. Coming right up. When is it? When's Rath Yatra?
9th of February.
Nice festival. So many devotees will come. So this is the spiritual world. Constant festival. And there's no managerial anxieties. It's like the festival is coming up. There's a lot to organize, right? A lot of management. No one gets tired. No one gets a sunburn. You have to wear a hat, right? Sun. There's no anxiety. Constant festival. So that's where we're going. We take this seriously. Prabhupada guarantee it. You follow the four regular principles. You chant 16 rounds a day. And I guarantee you, you go back to God. So this is Prabhupada's promise. One devotee, he heard this in a lecture back in 1969. He was thinking, wow, so easy. And just follow the four regular principles, chant 16 rounds, and we go back to God. So easy. But then as time went on, he saw it's not so easy. Even he himself had difficulty. So, not so easy. You chant 16 rounds a day, that's 2 hours of your day. You have to have a taste. Every day for the rest of your life, you have to have a taste for Krishna consciousness. That's a lot of time. 2 hours every day. Year after year after year. 50 years maybe. That's a lot of hours. Four regular principles. These are the pillars of Kali Yuga. This is what Kali Yuga stands on. Illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, eating. Not easy to give them. You have to have a taste. So we have to pray to Krishna to have this taste so that we're not attracted again to material life. Shraddha ratir bhakti anukramishyati. So we get this faith from hearing Prabhupada's words, we get faith. From hearing from other devotees, we get faith. So many wonderful devotees now in our society. You could go online and so many wonderful lectures from devotees. We gain faith from this. One time Prabhupada, I might have mentioned this here before, it's an interesting, nice pastime, Prabhupada, with the devotees, senior devotees. Prabhupada asked them, GBC, all the GBC members in Los Angeles, he said, so are you all convinced? And Prabhupada was very grave. He can be very stern, very grave. And no one said anything for about a minute. It was very, the atmosphere was very thick. And Prabhupada eventually said, well, I'm convinced Krishna is God. So we want to have this conviction, this faith that Krishna is God and that we are all the eternal servants of Krishna. And this comes from very attentive hearing, not just that we chant 16 rounds a day, but that we chant attentively, that we hear attentively. It's like I was speaking to one devotee yesterday. He was saying how he reads, but so much of it just goes in and out, and I don't even grasp it. I told him, I also have a mind. I have this problem also. So if you find that you haven't grasped, that it hasn't sunk in, whatever it is that you read, then go back. Read it again. So we have to do like that. If you've all had that experience of reading and you didn't even remember anything of that last paragraph or even the last page or a few pages. So go back. Read it again. We have to try to hear attentively. And Krishna's pleased with this. You have to hear the holy name. If you find that you're not hearing the holy name, your mind has drifted off, then back up a few beats and start again. Let your mind know, hey, this is serious. We're going to hear it. Whether you like it or not, we're going to hear it. Back up. Chant some more. Attentiveness, this is the key. You have to be attentive. Whatever it is we're doing, attention to the details of our service to Krishna is what pleases Krishna. Everything that we do should be very attentively done. Therefore, Prabhupada, he was so amazing. Devotees, Prabhupada would just drink water. And devotees would be amazed how he drinks water. Because whatever he was doing, every movement was for Krishna. Everything. His movement was just so graceful. Because everything was for Krishna. The way he would eat, the way he would speak, everything. Because it was all being done for Krishna. Anudvegam karang vakyam satyam priyam mitangchya swadyam yasanam chaiva vanmayam tapavushite. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, these are the austerities of speech. Anudvegam karang vakyam, to speak that which does not agitate, disturb others. Satyam, to speak that which is the truth. So Prabhupada always speaking the truth. He would never compromise. So many other Swamis came and they would compromise to get followers. Prabhupada, no. He had love for Krishna, so he spoke the truth. Whether it was pleasing or not pleasing, he spoke the truth. Of course, he was so pure, it was always pleasing. Satyam priyam, to speak that which is pleasing. But Prabhupada was so pure that it would be pleasing to hear Prabhupada speak. And to speak that which is beneficial. And to always be repeating the Vedic literature. These are the five austerities of speech. Whatever we hear, whatever we read, we should discuss it with other devotees. And you get more realization by discussion. And that's why Prabhupada established this Bhagavatam class. Up until 1971, there was no Bhagavatam class. They would go on Harinam till late at night, sometimes 11, 12 o'clock, they'd come home and then wake up at 7 o'clock. Practically, no morning program. But then so many people are leaving, then Prabhupada established the Bhagavatam class. Mangalartik. And like that, Guru Puja. To help us become spiritually strong. And then there's the austerities of the mind. Mana prasadak saumyadvan maunam atma vinigra bhava saṃsir ityeta tapusa manasamuchyate. To be satisfied in Krishna consciousness, that's an austerity of the mind. Just to be satisfied. Because this is So much opportunity for sense gratification now throughout society, at least in the Western countries. So to be satisfied chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, taking Krishna prasadam, associating with the devotees, it's an austerity. And Krishna's pleased by that, because we could be doing so many things out there, trying to satisfy our senses. But we're giving all this up to serve Krishna. So Krishna's pleased. Samyadvam means to be honest. We should be honest. Prabhupada, he was speaking about this once. He said we should be so honest that if a thief comes to you and says, how much money do you have? You should tell him. I had to rewind that and make sure I heard that properly. He said, this is how honest we should be. And who knows, maybe the person will be so appreciative of your honesty, maybe he'll let you go. No, no, you're so honest, better go. But we should be honest with ourselves also. We may have this idea that I'm some big devotee. I'm an important devotee. I'm an advanced devotee. No, we should always think ourselves insignificant. They're very small. That's the reality. We're very small, we're very insignificant. Monam. Monam means we should be very grave. Another austerity of the mind. Gravity. And Prabhupada says in one proverb, this the best way to control the mind is gravity of thought. Of course, that doesn't mean that we're always walking around very stern and grave all the time. No, we have nice relationships. We can joke with one another. Prabhupada was very grave, but he had an incredible sense of humor. One devotee, Syama Sundar, he was traveling around with Prabhupada in India. He said, Prabhupada had us laughing all the time. It's amazing. So grave, but at the same time, very jolly. Atma Vinigraha, we have to control the mind. That's another austerity, the mind to control it. Mind is going here and going there. You have to bring it back. Yato yato nishchalati manash chanchalamastikam tatastato nyamnyatat atmanyevasam. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, we have to bring it back. Keep on bringing it back under the control of the self. The mind is, it's like a ventriloquist. Yeah. A ventriloquist, he has a, there's some form there and he speaks. The person speaks and looks like some form is speaking, right? So the mind makes it think that it's us speaking, that it's something we want. But no. Like one devotee who was doing deity worship and he told Prabhupada, the other day I thought of pushing over the deity. And Prabhupada said, it's just the mind. But sometimes the mind is such a demon, it's such a rascal. It could even think of such a thing. Such a rascal, but it's just the mind. So whenever it's a second person saying, well, why don't you do this? No, it's just the mind, don't listen to it. And when it becomes the first person saying, I want to do this, then you're in big trouble. The second person saying, why don't you do this or do that? Do that, do this. It's just the mind. But when we surrender to the mind, I want to do this. I'm going to do this. And then we're in big trouble. So stop it when it's the second person. No. Shut up. I'm not going to listen to you. So the mind is the enemy. But the mind also can be pure. Can be purified. So that's what this is all about. We're purifying the mind. So it's thinking of how to please Krishna. Rather than to disturb Krishna. Rather than interesting sense gratification. We're trying to train the mind to be interested only in pleasing the senses of Krishna. As long as it's just thinking of sense gratification, it's our enemy. Don't listen to it. Reject it. And so many desires will come. Apoyamanam machalapatishtam samudramapa bhavasanti yadva tatvat kamayam bhavasanti sarve sasanti mapnoti nakamakami. Very nice verse, Krishna says. What is it? How does it start off? On May, was it? Anybody have the Bhagavad Gita? No. One who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires which enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled, but which is always steady, alone achieves peace, and not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. So many desires will come, let them go. Don't hang on to them. Just like the rivers are going into the ocean. So many rivers are going into the ocean. It's being filled up. It's like in Brazil, they have the Amazon River. And I went on the encyclopedia, and it said that this river is so big that if you're standing on one side of the river, there's some parts of this river where you can't see the other side. It's so big. And the waves, sometimes the waves of the river, they hit the waves of the ocean. And you could hear the smashing of the waves from miles around. So you can imagine how many tons of water is going in because you have the Amazon rainforest there. So much rain is going into the ocean. But still, it doesn't come up. If it came up, it would be finished. Right? So still, so much water is going in there, but it stays steady. And you got the Nile River. Any big rivers in Australia? No? Got the Ganges River also. America, they have some big rivers also. Mississippi River. So all over the world, there's big rivers. So much water is going in. But the ocean doesn't rise. Amazing. Or it rises, but then it goes down. Low tide, high tide. So many desires will come. Let them go. Don't hang on to them. Let them go. Except for the desire to serve Krishna. Just like one devotee told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we have a very strong desire to distribute your books. Prabhupada said, don't let that desire go. Hang on to that desire. So desires to serve Krishna, we want to hold on, relish, protect those desires. But all these other nonsense desires, just let them go. Maya. Temporary. Will not give any satisfaction. Let them go. Okay. Any question or comment? Brahma Rishi, okay. Yeah. Okay.
But for some misfortune, he had to work as a servant of, he acted as a servant of Duryodhana.
No.
Now, Duryodhana was telling him, just 2 days before this event happened, why are you not killing the army of Pandavas? Or why are you not killing the Pandavas? Just because you are very favorable to Duryodhana. Then Duryodhana said, he took a vow that, okay, from tomorrow, I will kill 10,000 of the Pandava each day. So Madhvacharya says, if he going to kill 10,000 people every day until the battle comes, then you can imagine what kind of complete cleansing will happen. And that he promised to kill people on the right side. So Krishna wanted to prevent this killing of
Yeah, that one I mentioned.
Yeah, even though Krishna said that, hesitate, tell the lie. Yudhishthira didn't have either the faith or, he said that Yudhishthira went to hell. He had a darshan of hell. Just because he told a lie. Not because he told a lie, because he didn't.
He hesitated.